are now listening to the Fantasy Football Guys podcast.
2 days late.
You can check them out on the web at www.guys.com.
Really? Awesome.
So here's your host,
awesome.
Fantasy Football Guys.
You're so good at this. It's almost like you do it all the time.
Kevin Moore.
2 days late, 1 hour early. I was trying to turn it up, and I hit the mute button instead.
I know.
Yeah, it happened.
I can surmise what took place.
Kevin. It happens. Hey, we're the Fantasy Football Guys. Kevin.
Lyle.
And we are netcasting on livestream.com/TFFG. Later on, you will find this as a podcast on the iTunes podcast app, plus our own website at thefantasyfootballguys.com, where you will also find a donate button where you can throw some cash if you like. You can also check out our forum, where it's kind of slowing down this time of year, mostly spam at this point, but there's still cool a couple of cool things going on there. Also, you can check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/TFFG, Facebook at facebook.com/thefantasyfootballguys, and, of course, YouTube at youtube.com/theffguys. Not making it easy for you to find us, but hey.
Right.
It is what it is. A couple of things we're going to talk about. Of course, Liz Lost of the Fantasy Football Girl will be coming up later. Assuming, of course, that I can turn Skype on while we're doing this.
That's good.
Yeah, got to have
Skype
on.
You might want to open that. It's going to make lots of noise, too.
It's going to make a noise or two, but that's okay. And I'm going to have to sign in as well. So.
Awesome. So you really were prepared for tonight.
Yeah, I was.
You only had 2 days to get ready. And
you actually assumed that when you said, hey, I'm not going to make it tonight, I was like, cool. And I put the phone down and turned the TV back up. So, you know. Anyway, so big news this week, of course, is the playoffs, and also the fact that the 15 finalists for the NFL Hall of Fame have been named.
Right.
So we're going to get up to that later.
Oh, that's going to be an interesting conversation, man.
Well, you know, because we never agree on anything, really.
Right.
You know, so to speak. So, but first, I want to tell you, Lyle, that your season-long fantasy football league is, of course, over, but there are still plenty of excitement every week at DraftKings.com.
That's right. DraftKings is America's favorite one-week fantasy sports site where you can win enormous cash prizes every time you play.
True story. Dave from Boston won $1 million in one day just playing fantasy football at DraftKings.
So did Matt from Florida. And Ray from New Jersey.
In fact, DraftKings has crowned a new millionaire nearly every week this season.
The football action even continues throughout the playoffs at DraftKings.com.
And be sure to check out their exciting money-making contests in other sports as well, like hockey and college and pro hoops.
I just played an MMA one the other day. It was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. You've been hearing about big winners at DraftKings all year. Now it's your turn to win huge cash.
Head to DraftKings.com now and use promo code GUYS to play for free in the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend.
DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires.
Enter GUYS for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com.
That is DraftKings.com.
.com. Yeah, the MMA thing was really cool.
How'd you do it? Just bet by round?
No. You pick dudes that are in every fight, but you still have a salary cap and stuff. So you can't, you might have to pick somebody that you don't think is going to win.
You can't take the favorite every fight.
You can't. No, it doesn't work out.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So you threw down the $60 for the fight?
No.
For the round?
No. I was going somewhere where they were doing it, and I thought, this is an awesome way to make this way more fun.
Right, because otherwise, the undercard, what do you care?
Well, I mean, they're fun to watch, certainly.
Well,
but
it's two guys fighting.
Right.
Sometimes it's two girls fighting, which is even better.
Right, but I don't always, so I'm not a huge MMA guy. I know the popular names, but I don't always know who actually some of the undercard guys are. So, but that was really cool. It was a way to keep it really interesting and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Gotta love that. Okay, so there's 15 nominees.
Yeah.
For the, wait a minute. This isn't them. Damn it.
That is them.
No, this is the, okay, I got it.
This is the 15.
All right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
So, senior nominee is the only one, Mick Tinglehoff.
Yeah.
He's going to be either voted in or not. Two contributors, Bill Polian and Ron Wolf. One guy, Polian from Casey Buffalo, worked for the NFL for a while, Carolina, Indianapolis. Ron Wolf, of course, Oakland, L.A., worked for the AFL, Tampa
cares?
Bay. All these
Get to
guys.
The players.
Yeah, I mean, contributors, yeah, I guess, but quite frankly, I don't even like coaches that much, to be honest with you.
Neither do I.
Okay, so I'm going to run down the list of names that are in the final 15. You give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Okay.
Morton Anderson.
Has to be. Guy, he's the all-time leading scorer. How is he not in the Hall of Fame? Sorry. He's got to be in.
Jerome Bettis.
Can I reserve judgment?
All right. Keep track here.
All right.
I'm just going to, One, Morton Anderson's definitely in. So Jerome Bettis we can come back to. Tim Brown.
Also think it's hard for a receiver, man. I'm going to say no.
Don Coryell.
No.
Terrell Davis.
So short career, but I think yes.
Tony Dungy. Oh, that's two.
That's two, yeah.
Tony Dungy.
Yes, but not yet.
Kevin Green.
Kind of has to.
You think so?
Yeah.
Not his first go-around.
I know. He's third time in sacks, right? Third all time. Yeah. It's right here.
Yeah. Remember the 90s all-decade team.
Yeah.
Charles Haley.
So, probably deserves it as much as Green does. He did win five Super Bowls, which is pretty crazy. But I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well. Marvin Harrison.
Interesting selection, and I think it has to be yes.
All right, so you're already four in.
Really? I did four already?
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson.
No.
John Lynch.
No.
Orlando Pace.
Yes.
Okay, there's your five. You're done. So you cannot vote for Junior Seau.
Don't know that I would have anyway.
And you can't vote for Kurt Warner.
Yeah, he's one that has to go in.
And Will Shields.
And Will Shields.
For me, I got Warner. I got Seau.
Well, I didn't get the Warner yet.
Well, you had five. You're done. You can't pick Warner.
Well, I can change my picks.
So for me, dude, it's not Morton Anderson. I think he's eligible. I think he's good. I think one day he'll get in. But I don't think this is the time.
He's the all-time leading scorer in the NFL.
I understand. You know, Brian Mitchell.
The guy had a 22-year career?
Brian Mitchell's also the leading all-purpose yards getter.
Different. Very different.
I'm just saying. I think he gets in. I don't think he's a first ballot guy.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So I got Warner. I got Seau. I got Kevin Green. I got Orlando Pace.
Yeah, Orlando Pace is kind of, that's a big one too.
And dude, I'm going to go Don Coryell.
Really?
Here's the thing. You've heard of Eric Coryell, right?
Yeah, of course.
You were 6 years old when that happened. The whole criteria for coaches getting into the NFL Hall of Fame, or it's not the NFL Hall of Fame, but Pro Football Hall of Fame, is can the story of the NFL be told without that guy? Don Coryell changed the way offense was played in the NFL.
True.
He took it from 3 yards on the cloud of dust to airing it the hell out.
Okay.
I got to vote for Don Coryell. I know there's other guys.
How many Super Bowls he win?
Doesn't matter.
How does that not matter? How can we talk the NFL Hall of Fame and you just said that doesn't matter?
It doesn't.
It does, too.
So you're going to put Jimmy Johnson in. He's got two.
No, I won't put Jimmy Johnson in. Because I don't think that's the only criteria. But right. I think it definitely counts.
I don't know if Don Coryell makes it this time. This is a pretty tough class. But I think he deserves to be in there at some point.
I really don't. I'm not sure about Dungy. I'm on the fence.
I don't like him.
Doesn't matter if you like him or not.
No, I mean, I don't like him for the spot. I don't think he did enough for it.
I don't think he did either.
I think he was the first African-American head coach, which kind of, that's a big notch in the belt.
It really is. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on Terrell Davis, though.
No, actually, he wasn't the first African-American head coach. That was Art Shell.
Oh, it was Art Shell.
Dungy was the first African-American head coach to win the Super Bowl, which is a smaller notch.
It is a smaller notch.
Yeah. So you want to hear my
give me your Terrell Davis spiel. Short career, man.
You know what? Gale Sayers had a short career as well. So that's not always the clincher. I mean, not saying Terrell Davis is Gale Sayers, but while Terrell Davis was in, there was nobody better at the running back position.
Really wasn't. And he did it with, like, crippling migraines, too, which is really impressive.
And won two Super Bowl rings. So
yeah, he gave a speech. He was giving a talk on in the Super Bowl one time. Like, literally, he couldn't see.
Right.
And he's like, I just can't see.
And Shanahan's like, Terrell, you got to go in because if you're not in there, they're not going to believe we're going to run. So
right. We're
going to do a play action thing. And if you're not there, the play's not going to work. So
he literally couldn't see.
So they let him out there and hike, and he kind of went to the right and you know, whatever. So, yeah, this is obviously they're going to pick five out of this group.
It's tough. I'd love to hear what the listeners think because they might tell us that we're all stupid.
Well, I'm sure, you know, a lot of these things run on fandom lines, so a lot of Steeler fans, of course, are going to be like, Jerome Bettis.
I think the bus has a legitimate case. I just don't think it's this go-round.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I think he could easily get in.
You know, and Tim Brown, you know, I think the criteria is way too hard for receivers, but the guy had an amazing career. He had an amazing career.
He did. Fifth on the all-time list.
Yeah. Pro Bowl 9 times. You know, I mean, how do you dismiss that guy? But
he's been getting dismissed year after year.
So, and I think it's a little bit unfair that Kurt Warner is sort of like an auto in, but he's got to be, right?
Well, you know what? If you take away the story, if he's just a guy who came up and did what he did, then it would be...
I totally disagree. Because here's what he did. He took two organizations that sucked forever to the Super Bowl and won one that was probably the most competitive, action-packed Super Bowl I've ever been a part of.
You mean as a viewer?
As a viewer.
I wouldn't call that being a part of it.
No, I'm part of all events, okay, Kevin. Well, I'm very influential.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But seriously, like it was amazing. I think say I was going to get in, you know, simply because everybody feels bad for him. Not saying that he doesn't have the chops. He does. Totally does.
I won't say it's because they feel bad.
I think that's going to give him the bump.
12 Pro Bowls.
Dude, agreed. I think he would get in anyway.
A defensive player of the year.
Eventually. I don't know that it would happen this go around. Are you okay? You just like insta-coughed.
Yeah, I know. It was just there and all of a sudden. Back to Warner. I think the, you know, he being a two-time NFL MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, highest passer rating in the Super Bowl, I think, and led the NFL in TD passes two times, threw for 300 or more yards in three Super Bowls. That's huge.
Yes.
All those things are big.
Yes.
But I'm not sure he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer without the story.
Without
him being Kurt Warner.
I so disagree. And, greatest show on turf. Forget it, dude.
Okay.
You want to talk about changing the game.
Well, you know, yeah, here's the thing, though. Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt were both in the higher round than this, and neither of them got recognized.
No, I can see that.
Right. They were also in the greatest show on turf.
True.
So
he was the architect.
Well, actually, Dick Vermeil.
It was his
Mike
arm.
Martz was the architect.
His arm.
Right. But
so you're saying you could have put anybody in there. What's his random guy? What's his name? Doesn't get hurt. And Kurt Warner's still on the bench.
Trent Green.
He. They're as good? No, come on. It's crazy.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like you said, because Eli's last name is Manning,
yeah,
that bumps him over. I think Kurt's story bumps him
over. Okay, fair enough. But don't you think that the Giant years kind of drag him down a little bit? What happened there, by the way? Because he went to Arizona and he was awesome again.
I think it was not a system meant for him. I think he was not really... I think he was the stopgap. He was the Doug Peterson from the Eagles. Let's just bring this dude in. He's washed up. He's old. We'll bring him in just until Eli's ready.
Right.
And I think that's how they treated him. I don't think they said, here's our guy, like Arizona did. Here's our guy.
Right.
We've got our guy.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't do that either at first, right?
But they didn't, but he ended up making his way back
on
the
like
field.
Elvis Gerbach or somebody? Who was it they had in front of him?
It wasn't Elvis
Gerbach, but somebody that
yeah,
ridiculous.
Right. It's something like that.
I think... The sad performances of Kurt Warner in a Giants uniform, I don't think it drags him down so much.
Well, without the rebound, though, in Arizona, I mean, yeah, in Arizona, he doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
He wouldn't make it as automatically as he did.
Right.
It's the Donovan McNabb story. You know, if he had...
McNabb's got no chance. If he retired an Eagle, he'd have a legit shot, but he has no chance.
Right. It's the ridiculousness after that,
right,
that killed him.
Yep.
If he said, okay, you know, I'm not going to play for the Eagles anymore, I'm retiring, you know, love you, Philly, goodbye.
Right.
Because he had numbers that rivaled.
They were on par. They were on par with Brady and Manning. And
right. So,
they were.
But, you know, the joke that was Donovan McNabb pretty much killed it.
Yeah.
Number 5 will always love you.
Oh, my God.
What a deke.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting conversation.
Yeah, and they're going to let us know, I guess, Super Bowl weekend.
Cool.
When that's going to be.
I'm excited.
Liz Losa calling up later on. We're going to go over what we did as far as...
Last week. How
and,
it went.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. Feeling good about my picks.
Yeah, I'm not feeling so good.
No?
About your picks.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Well, that's good. You can think how you like.
All right. Say what you will.
All right. New England Patriots, Baltimore Ravens this weekend. Of course, we're talking about DraftKings and we're talking about the NFL's playoff deal. Now, last week, I don't know if...
So I deferred.
Everybody?
I picked every single player I picked was sitting at home last week.
Now, I only had one player that I picked that lost.
That's good.
I only had to replace one guy. I have a lot of Packers. I think the Packers are going to go.
Yep.
And I picked a couple of Patriots. I got Gronkowski.
Do you think the Pats are back in?
I think the Pats are back in.
I took Denver.
Did you?
Yeah, I went with Denver.
Denver's got to go to New England again. New England owned them when they went there in the regular season.
It's all right.
So
it's all right.
We'll see what happens. You got to pick two teams, basically.
Yep.
Is what's got to happen there.
That's how you strategize.
Strategize.
So obviously Brady's good, but I wouldn't touch these running backs with a 10-foot pole.
No, I wouldn't either. Absolutely not. I mean, for a minute there, I had LeGarrette Blount in. I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
LaFell, Edelman, both legit
options at receiver. Obviously.
Yeah.
Anybody else? And, you know, it's not too late to jump on the guys. You know, like week one, you got, you know, some teams that – obviously you don't have the full choice of the teams on bye. So I've seen a lot of guys who score high in this, not just for our league, but for the national contest. The first week, like the quarterback and running back and receiver, they'll pick the team that they think is going to win it all, or at least go to the Super Bowl. They'll pick players from that, but cherry pick other players for tight end, the other running back, the other receiver, et cetera. So. You know, I think that, you know, if you pick DeMarco Murray, if you had Dez Bryant maybe,
yeah,
kind of thing. So, you know, I had DeMarco Murray and I had a couple other guys. So
did you?
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting strategy, but I just think you're giving away points if you don't try to double up everybody.
Well, and it's a dice roll.
Yeah.
You know, because it might very well be, you know, Seattle-Denver, Seattle, in your case, Seattle-New England.
Right.
And you get nobody.
Yep.
You know, so you got to do what you got to do. But from... The Ravens side, dude, you know what? Joe Flacco, to me, is for DraftKings, is the bargain guy.
He is.
He plays like a madman in the playoffs, and he's cheap.
Yeah, the kid got, what's he got, 9-10 playoff wins or something like that?
Yeah.
Some crazy number. So, I mean, you know, we joke about his salary and stuff, but this is why he gets paid. Like, that's why.
Yeah.
Not for his regular season numbers, clearly. But, I mean, the guy won a Super Bowl, though. Like, you know. They tend to get a lot of attention when you win those.
Right. So if you're going to put all your money in receivers or a tight end, because you got Gronkowski, or, you know, you can play this week, of course. You know, Flacco's a guy you might want to pick for DraftKings because, like I said, he's cheap. You know, he's not going to throw a ton of interceptions. You know, like he's Joe Flacco. It's not going to be 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Right.
But it's certainly going to be steady. And, you know, Justin Forsett's a guy I like, but there's so much talent that you can pick in DraftKings. I'm looking for that flex guy that could come out of nowhere, score a couple TDs, and get 50 yards. I think Bernard Pierce could be that guy.
Yeah.
I really he's like $3,000.
Right.
He's not that cheap, but he really is literally free.
Right.
Free
almost.
As,
yeah.
As free as a running back gets.
Right.
And you know he's a guy I love in that flex spot. So you know I may actually do that. We'll see. Torrey Smith and Steve Smith. Actually, I think Torrey Smith is last week he did very well. Steve Smith, not so much last week. He had a couple catches, but I think Torrey Smith is a better receiver of the two.
I don't disagree at all. It's funny because at the beginning of the season, you remember Steve Smith was just blowing up.
Yeah, he was.
But really cooled off, and Torrey's kind of taken on that role now. But listen, let's be honest. This isn't a big passing team. These guys are going to get some targets, but it's not a huge thing. Torrey Smith's that guy you got to pay for because you don't have any more money left. You're not picking him because, you know, he can blow up. He's really not going to.
Well, he's a guy you're going to take, you know, for your wide receiver three.
He's a WR3, right. Yeah.
And, you know, Owen Daniels, he's mediocre.
Meh.
Rather not.
Right now, on to an exciting game.
Yeah.
I don't even care about that one. Colts Broncos. This is going to be a good one, man. Really, really stoked about it. I don't think Indy has enough to get past Denver, but it'll be fun. They don't have enough. Denver's defense is too good, and their offense is obviously very, very good. So I think that Luck can keep up with the points. The problem is they're so one-dimensional. It's getting better because Boom Heron actually another bargain guy, funny enough. He's not too expensive. Actually does get some yards, and he catches a lot of passes. He caught 10 freaking passes last week. 10. You know, but he's targeted a lot in the passing game. He's on the field a lot, and his name's not Trent Richardson, which is amazing. I mean, T. Rich, he'll dive into the end zone every once in a while, but he's terrible. So, but Boone Heron's a guy that I actually really, really like in DraftKings. It's sad because I think that Indy's going to lose, and I'm not going to be able to pick him anymore, but he's definitely on every team that I submit this week. The receivers, I love.
By the way, we're talking about running backs, and this is something for next year. I don't know what Indianapolis's running back situation is going to be next year. They got to get rid of Trent Richardson if they want to win anything. Ahmad Bradshaw's getting a little long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last week, there was a kid named Zerlon Tipton.
Yeah.
Got 11 carries, got 40 yards, like 3.5 average, and caught a pass as well. The kid actually looked pretty good. You know, now I'm not saying he's a guy you keep or anything, but if you're in a dynasty league, he might be a guy you stick on the end of your
look at. Good point, Kevin.
Thanks.
The receivers, I love them both. Hilton, obvious. He's pretty expensive, though. As you noted last week, I was shocked. He was $7,700.
Yeah.
I was really shocked. So, but love him. Moncrief is an interesting option, though. Obviously not Reggie Wayne, guys. Sorry. Doesn't get a lot of targets. Right, not on the field a whole lot, but he does catch the occasional TD, and he's basically free.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, so kind of awesome that, you know, T.Y. Hilton's going to get a lot of attention. Obviously, the tight ends are used quite frequently, but Moncrief's a guy who can sneak in there and blow up a game. He really can.
You know, he's one of those – he's playing the role of Wes Welker in this offense, basically. He's a little slot guy, tiny dude. He's going to slide in between the linebackers.
Had a touchdown last week.
Yeah.
You know,
I think he had a touchdown the week before, too.
So I don't hate him at all. From the tight end's perspective, listen, you're going to be hard-pressed to find value better than either of those guys.
Kobe Fleener, I think, is the most expensive tight end this week.
No, he can't be. He can't be. How is Gronkowski not as expensive?
I think Fleener might be second.
Okay.
But I was thinking that...
That's ridiculous.
I was thinking that Thomas should be.
Well, so that's an interesting thing. Because he's been hurt and banged up so much, he's actually sank in value quite a bit. Now, Fleener and Allen were at the 6 and 5K mark or so the other day. So I think it was last week they were around those numbers, which I think is pretty good. That's pretty decent for a tight end. Sometimes we want to spend a little bit less, and I get that, but the problem with the playoffs is your options are so limited that if you don't spend that, you're basically not filling your tight end slot.
Yeah.
You know, you're just grabbing a goose egg. Because if you grab, you know, I don't know, one of these other random names on the Owen Daniels, if you grab him, you're basically getting 5 points or something. Unless you get really, really lucky. So it's a tough go, but I think you gotta spend the bucks.
Well, here's the thing. Rob Gronkowski, $7,100.
Yeah.
Olsen is second, $5,100.
Yep.
Witten is third at $4,800. And Fleener is fourth at $4,600.
46.
And that's probably where he belongs.
That's awesome. Where's Allen at?
Allen's at $3,500.
Love it. Love it.
But below that, when you get below Dwayne Allen... You got Luke Wilson, Ed Dixon, Tammy, Tony Moyeki.
A goose egg.
Really?
You got a goose egg.
So you have a choice of 6 tight ends.
Right.
That are viable.
It's slim pickings. And I tell you what, man, I don't hate Allen.
Well, you know what?
And almost free. The guy catches a touchdown all the time.
He's like $3,500.
Yeah. Don't hate it.
Now.
Probably go Fleener, though.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Dwayne Allen may get you 10 points, and he's half the price of Gronkowski.
Right.
Gronkowski can get you 30 points.
That's true.
You know, so that's just one of those things you gotta juggle, or whether or not it's important to you.
That's why we play the game, Kevin.
That is why we play the game.
Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning's obvious if you can afford him, but that's going to be a tough go because what is he running now? What's Peyton?
Let me have a look.
Is he $9,000? That's just too expensive for a quarterback, in my opinion.
Peyton Manning is $8,400.
Yeah.
Rodgers is $8,900.
Wow.
Got to tell you, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at my lineup now. I got Flacco in there, man.
Love it, right? Love it.
Yeah.
So it's
Flacco cost me $6,900.
Yeah, that's good. Under 7K for a quarterback, it's pretty good. You're going to be hard pressed to find better value than that.
And
what's Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson is at 7,800. The next more over Flacco at 6,900 was Tony Romo at 7,600.
That's still not bad either.
No. But I think I have value at Flacco at 6,900.
You do. So the problem with this running game is that Ronnie Hillman is back. So what does that mean? Well, he split pretty evenly in his last game. Matter of fact, I think he actually had more carries than C.J. Anderson did. So it lowers their value a little bit. If I had to pick one, it would probably be Anderson at this point just because he was utilized so much. And the guy did score 3 touchdowns in his last game.
Yeah.
But just know that Hillman's going to snake some of that and definitely be on the field. He may even play a lot more because Hillman's a very talented back. He just, you know, has been injured.
Well, C.J. Anderson came out of nowhere. Ronnie Hillman was a guy who was supposed to
split
time with ball.
Right. But in a DraftKings situation, these are guys that I'm trying to avoid now because I'm not paying for half of running back.
Right.
You know, that's gross.
If you've got the entire league to choose from, you want a guy who's going to get it all.
Right. Now that it's in playoff situations, you might end up having to take one of them because it's tough. It actually is tough to manage that budget with only 4 games, dude.
It is.
That's why
I always like the nighttime games, the Monday night, Sunday night, because you only had 2 games.
Right. It was very challenging. Yeah, you end up having to pick somebody that's not necessarily, you know, anyone. You're kind of like,
And the thing is like somebody's going to come up and score big because everybody's going to try to get the big guys out of those 2 games.
Right.
So you got a lot of, you know, it's like, I need Manny Sanders to give me 2 touchdowns. You look at your opponent, and he also has Manny Sanders.
Right.
You're like, damn it.
So these receivers, wildly overvalued. Love them. Listen, I don't hate them at all. Demaryius, Manny Sanders, love them both. Wildly overvalued.
Anybody in the chat room?
Very expensive. Nobody. No.
I think we're talking to ourselves.
We do that a lot, dude. We do that a lot. So, like, I would rather grab a guy like T.Y. Hilton than spend the money on Demaryius because Demaryius Thomas is an amazing wide receiver, but he's so expensive, it ruins your team, basically.
It's the price versus the value.
Manny's a little bit more reasonable, but still, I really don't see myself paying $9,000 for one guy.
It's tough to do.
Yeah. Welker, no. Orange Julius, he's probably going to be awesome value.
Healthy?
He has been down. I haven't seen the numbers this week, but he has been actually down around 5K because they were really uncertain about whether he was going to play or not and all that kind of stuff. So actually really, really like him unless he starts to creep up into the top tier again in terms of dollars spent.
Dude, I'm looking for him. I don't see him. Hang on.
You don't see Julius Thomas?
Oh, you know why? Because I played him. He's at 5,300, though.
Yeah, 5,300. That's what I'm saying. That's great. That's a great value at tight end right there.
Which is second. That puts him at second.
Right. Under Gronk?
Under Gronk and ahead of Greg Olsen.
Okay.
And Witten. So Fleener would have been 5th instead of 4th.
Right.
So, yeah, there you have it. Next game would be the Dallas Cowboys-Green Bay Packers. Of course, this is the first time Dallas has gone to Green Bay since the legendary Ice Bowl.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be icy again.
Yeah, like 15 Frigid. Degrees above zero. People say, oh, you know, both teams have to play in it. But you know what? The Packers, they go to work in it. Dallas, it was 85 degrees yesterday,
right.
You know?
Right.
It's got to take a toll on you. And these guys go out there without they're covering their arms up and stuff, show how tough they are. I buy it. They're tough.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Me too. Yeah,
it's all good.
It's pretty gross.
I told you about Tony Romo being just slightly more expensive than Joe Flacco. That's crazy value for a guy who has led his team this far. And I think really at this point the Cowboys have overachieved.
Oh, agreed.
You can say all you want to about the call last week, and I think the officiating was awful. The non-holding calls that should have been called.
It was horrendous. And listen, I don't think that refs can change a game, right? But they can, or determine the outcome of a game is a better way to say it. But they can certainly influence it.
They can certainly steer it.
It was, you know, it was ridiculous how many bad calls went the Cowboys' way. I'm not saying there's any tomfoolery going on. I'm just saying that the refs did a bad job, and I think that it helped the Cowboys win.
Well, exactly. Obviously, if every penalty that could have been called was called on that play, the Lions would have been down at the Cowboys 14.
Yes.
Which would have been pass interference,
right,
and half the distance to the goal on Dez Bryant coming onto the field,
right,
with that helmet.
Right.
Now, that's a judgment call, so I'm not even caring about that so much. But Detroit would have been on the mid-20s, like 26.
Mm-hmm. Line.
Mm-hmm. So with a first down and basically moving the ball.
Yes.
So time comes off the clock. At minimum, they kick a field goal, which ramps up the pressure on the Cowboys because now they have to score a touchdown.
So, but I think that there's a lot of assumptions in there.
Right. There's a lot of ifs there.
Could have been a fumble the next play. They could have missed a field goal.
Could have been a touchdown the next play.
I think that the fault of the game is solely on the shoulders of the Lions. They played poorly towards the end of that game. They really did. But I do think that momentum and stuff like that really influenced the game, and it definitely helped the Cowboys.
Right. So, and when the Cowboys are driving, obviously, on the fourth down play to Witten.
Yeah.
Did you see the right tackle?
Oh, yeah.
He was arm-barring. Yeah, it was right there. It's like, I can see it. I'm thousands of miles away.
So, yeah, I know. I totally agree.
So that should have been fourth and like 21.
What is so frustrating for me, though, is Bastards. That they have put in these draconian rules around not touching the receivers and stuff, and they don't call it. I mean, literally, I've seen like so many very, very mild cases of pass interference being flagged this year. Happens to Kerry Williams every play, basically.
Yeah.
Dude gets a flag all the time. And sometimes they're legit. I'm not saying they're not. I've seen a lot of cases where they're like, no, you can't do that. This was so blatant that I was like, and not only that, there were flags on the ground. They picked them up.
Right.
Like, what?
Right. Well, basically, I can't remember the name of the defender, grabbed the tight end's t-shirt.
Yeah.
T-shirt, his jersey.
Yeah.
Then let go, and then didn't turn to his face the ball and was making contact.
Yes.
That's a given.
Clearly pass interference.
Right.
It's not even a question.
And so even at that, even if you go, well, this other guy said it was incidental. Even if you pick that up, the holding call on the Witten fourth down play should have negated the first down and backed him up 10 more yards. Maybe they get it. Maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't. Right.
So down the field, a few plays later, another massive holding call that, that was obvious to everybody. The dude got tackled.
Yeah.
Never called.
Nothing.
On the touchdown, there were two holding calls right in front of Romo. Both of those guys were holding.
So are you claiming tomfoolery?
You know what? We've talked about this before. I'd really like to think that it's not the fix, isn't it?
A lot of money involved. Jerry Jones has an awful lot of it.
Well, I don't think it's money like that. I think the NFL likes to have their stories. I think they like to have things that people can talk about. Which is a better story? Detroit's going to Seattle.
So you think that...
Or the Cowboys are going back to Green Bay where the Ice Bowl was played and Tony Romo and America's team. Here we go. I think that's a better story. So do I think...
Ironically enough, they're not America's team anymore.
Steelers are.
I mean,
so do I think... did Roger Goodell pick up the phone and talk to Dean Blandino? He was like, I really liked how the Cowboys went. Do I think that happened? No, but... It's the appearance of impropriety that's the NFL's problem.
I hear what you're saying, but here's where you're completely wrong.
In your opinion.
No. And this is why I think almost all conspiracies are total bull. I totally believe they would do that. I totally believe it. But I don't think they could keep it a secret. I don't. Somebody would go, oh my God, I can make $5 billion with this story. And they would say something.
Well,
there's no code of secrecy there that's going on. No way. There's no way they could keep it quiet. So I believe that they could suppress some things and squash some things, but if they were actually influencing games to tell a story, somebody would rat them out.
Well, I think if you have one guy, if you have the guy who talks, the referee, if you're in his ear,
mm-hmm.
I think that you can make that happen because he can overturn calls and he can influence things. But I don't really think that happens. I think Goodell's happy as hell that the Cowboys won.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there was influence there. I like to hope there isn't. But what I think has to come out of this is I think the case can be made that there are so many cameras now, and the NFL is watching all these plays in New York, is that, you know, somebody's going to be able to push a button and go, yeah, that was pass interference.
It was PI.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that?
Or that was a clean hit. I know you threw a flag on it. That was a clean hit.
Right.
And they pick it up and go, you know, the play was deemed to be illegal or whatever.
Right.
I will wait 15 extra seconds.
Me
so
too.
The guy
to get it right.
Get the call right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to wait for 3 minutes, but you know what? If we're seeing it almost immediately, the dude in New York sees
it. Yeah, dude. Well, Mike Pereira gets on the freaking TV, right. You know, immediately, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's clearly pass interference. So.
Right. So the guy in New York can push the button and be in the referee's ear and go, yeah, pick up the flag. That was legit.
Right.
That's got to happen. Plus the fact that all these crews in the playoffs are all guys that were pieced together. They got good grades. That guy got a good grade. And they put a team together that's never reffed a game before.
Together, yeah.
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 Teams have to have grades.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they should keep crews together
right,
more.
Right, so the team's grade gets you. Maybe there's a weak link there, and okay, that's going to happen. But if there's a guy who's a weak link at the end of the season, you jettison his weak link ass and bring up the best person from college.
Right.
You know, I understand there's a union involved, but you know what? Kick them out. If they suck, get rid of them.
Yeah, you can't really. But I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree.
That's one of the reasons why unions blow.
Because
you
totally
can't
agree.
Get rid of people who suck.
I'm not going to argue with that. Do you have to understand why unions were formed?
I do.
It's because they were getting butt raped by everyone, basically.
And you know, we can talk about unions too, but I think in this instance, and maybe there's still a place for them. I don't know that there is. I'm not really a labor
expert?
Scholar.
Okay.
So in this instance, where you can't kick guys out if they're doing a poor job, then bring the next good guy in. It doesn't work.
We have the same problem in much more critical areas in this country. So
yeah, but this is a football show.
I know,
so
but I'm just saying. I'm saying you're not going to get an argument.
You're
going
to get the same thing in a teacher,
teachers,
and
police,
cops, and yeah,
yeah,
well,
it's horrible.
Potentially firemen.
Yeah,
who knows?
It's horrible.
So obviously, you know, because of this, things have to change, and technology is going to be the thing that forces that change.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I just think that it's a slippery slope.
I don't know where Liz is.
Maybe she's not calling.
Yeah. So my wife's asking if we're done soon so she can use this floor.
Oh, really?
For her tomfoolery, her skullduggery.
Well, let's speed through it, whatever.
Okay, so...
If Liz doesn't call in, we can just get her picks.
Yeah, we can do that.
Totally fine.
So anyway, DeMarco Murray, obviously, you're playing him. Dez Bryant, you're playing him. Dwayne Harris? I'm sorry. Terrence Williams. Looked at the wrong name. Terrence Williams... Dude had like the game of his life last week, and I don't think he's going to have another one. He may get thrown to a little bit, but I think it's still the Dez Bryant Jason Witten show.
It is. He had an outstanding game last week, and he had a great game against Indianapolis, too. He scored 2 touchdowns in that game as well. So maybe he is picking up a little bit of steam, but listen, in those 2 games combined, he was targeted 8 times. So it's not like he's having a huge impact. The guy does catch a fair amount of touchdowns, though.
As a
he had
flex,
eight on the season.
As a DraftKings flex? Yeah, why not?
You could do worse.
He's probably going to be relatively cheap.
He will be.
Aaron Rodgers for Green Bay. Obviously. Very expensive in DraftKings. Highest priced quarterback. But, of course, you know, I have him in the NFL league.
Yeah.
I put him in there last week.
Me too.
Hopefully he just wins all the way out and his calf is good.
Yep.
Take care of your wheel, Aaron. Counting on you, bro. Eddie Lacy... I'm not sure what to think about Eddie Lacy. This week, I think he's going to have no problem at all doing very, very well. But the week after that, going up against presumably Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see Carolina beating Seattle? I don't. So I think, obviously.
It's going to be closer than people think. That's what I think.
Well, most playoff games are.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it'll be a pretty tight game.
So assuming it'd be great if Green Bay could host Carolina. That would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Then everything changes. But, you know, obviously everybody knows Seattle's good God.
So, is she just buzzing you right now?
Yeah, she's just blowing me up. You're done.
So I will caution you a little bit, though, Kevin, because I think that I think that this game, because it's going to be so cold, there's going to be a little bit less passing, a lot of running going on. I could see Lacy and Murray having very, very big days. It doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers is going to suck or anything like that, but I just think they're going to run a higher percentage of running plays. That's all.
Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, obviously, you got to play them.
Brilliant.
In DraftKings, you can only afford one of them, probably, unless you're going to play nobody at the other positions.
Right.
But, you know, obviously in the NFL leagues, you definitely want to roll one of those guys, if not both.
Totally agree. Carolina and Seattle. Actually excited about this one, man. I'd love to see Carolina win. I really would. Not that I have anything against Seattle. I just think it would be interesting to see the Panthers go a little bit further. But, you know, that being said, let's look at it from a fantasy perspective. Dude, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Cam Newton, he is what he is. He's okay. I'm kind of getting on the Jay Stu bandwagon. The guy's putting up big numbers.
Well, because he's getting most of the most
second
of the
half of the year. He's actually one of the most prolific running backs in the league. You know, he's not. He doesn't score a whole bunch of touchdowns, which is concerning. But, but relatively cheap, and not a horrible option this week in DraftKings. I'm actually going to plug him in a few teams, no doubt. Yeah, man. The only other person we can really talk. I mean, Greg Olsen's obvious if you can afford him. If you end up with, you know, that 500 or 1,000 extra bucks and you want to upgrade your tight end, he's a brilliant option. Calvin Benjamin is the guy that you want from this team. He's the safe fantasy play. He has cooled off quite a bit, but he just gets targeted so much that you just, you know, he's routinely in the double digits. So, you know, I think they're going to try to throw a lot. I don't know how successful they'll be. That's the thing that bothers me.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could do worse at wide receiver, definitely. From the Seattle side, speaking of worse at wide receiver, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to end up having to play one of these guys because you're not going to have the money.
I think I have Baldwin in a third wide receiver spot.
I think you're going to have to.
In a couple leagues, yeah.
I think you're going to have to. Wilson's a good option. Marshawn Lynch, obviously, that's silly. He's a little bit too expensive, but a good option. But I think the interesting conversation is Doug Baldwin. Like, what do we do with a guy who's got middling stats? He's average, not a huge throwing team. But you're going to have, this is what's cool about playoff. You have to look at these guys because you don't have the money.
Well, you remember last year was when Doug Baldwin blew up.
It was. So it'll be interesting to see like how many times he's targeted, how much playing time or you know, actual like receptions and stuff happen for him. I think that out of the like weak crop of wide receivers, he's your best bet. So I would drop a few K on him.
Indeed. I just texted Liz. She's going to be calling here shortly.
Ah, there she is.
Look at the timing on that.
Wow. Perfect.
It is Liz Lowe's of the Fantasy Football Girl. Timing is excellent as always.
Impeccable.
I don't think that's true, but thanks, guys.
Well, it took a text out of me to get it, make it happen, but, you know, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
You know, we moved it a couple of times, and the time differences always confuse me a little bit, so thank you, Kevin, for staying on top of me. There you go. There's your soundbite. Have fun with that one.
Wow.
Love it.
Yeah, you know, just my heart fluttered a little, quite frankly.
Okay, so, yeah, well, what you don't know is he literally just said, I just texted Liz and you called. So that's why the timing was perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I have to, I'm going to need some help here doing the maths.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, so last week's picks were Baltimore, Pittsburgh versus Pittsburgh. Lyle took Baltimore in the under. The under was 47. The score was 47.
It's a push.
So Lyle gets a point.
Nice.
Lyle gets a point. All right.
What did you take?
I took Pittsburgh in the over.
Oh, so you get zero.
So I get zero. Liz took Baltimore in the under. So you get a point as well.
You get a point as well. Awesome.
So already I'm losing. Beautiful. So Arizona.
Another year, same problem.
Yeah. Arizona, Carolina. Lyle, you took Carolina in the under. The over under was 37.5. The actual
it went over
was 43.
Yeah,
Right. So you took Carolina in the under. So you get one because Carolina won.
Mm-hmm.
I took Carolina in the over. So I get
two.
And Liz took Arizona in the over, so Liz, you only get one. So here we all are tied at two.
Wow.
We're all tied.
Beautiful. Now, Detroit, Dallas, the over-under was 48. The actual was 44. So the under wins. And Lyle took Detroit in the under, so you get one. I took Detroit.
What was the line on that?
It was 48.
No.
Oh, minus seven. Oh, I forgot to do these damn lines. All right, so the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game doesn't matter. Arizona-Carolina, that doesn't matter. So the line was Dallas-Detroit 7. So actually, Detroit won that because Dallas was giving up 7.
That's what I thought.
So Detroit in the under. Let's see. So it was actually 44. So, Lyle, you get a point.
I get 2 points because I took Detroit as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You weren't kidding when you said you needed help with the math.
I told you. I wasn't lying. All right. So I think you have – no, you don't have five, do you?
I have four. I have four. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm trying to write, juggle, talk. Come on, man.
Did I make your heart flutter or did you have a stroke?
Well, stroke, yes, but not in the traditional sense.
Wow.
Ba-dump-bump. Thank you. I'm here all week. All right. So I took Detroit in the over.
So you get a point.
So I get one. And Liz took Dallas in the under, so you get a point.
Just one.
What?
Oh, she took the under.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
All right, so right now it's 4-3-3. Liz, we're trailing. All right, so okay. Cincy, Indianapolis. Last game, thankfully. 49 was the over-under. Indy was giving up 3.5. The actual was Indy by 16. So the actual was 36. So the under wins. So you took Indy in the over, Lyle, so you get one. I took Indy in the under, so I get two.
Nice.
Woo.
And Liz took Cincy in the over, so you don't get nothing.
I get nothing.
So right now it's 5-5-3. Lyle and I are on top of Liz, so
nice.
To speak.
Love it.
Love being on top of you, Liz. If I can stretch this metaphor just a little bit longer.
No, I think it's kind of running out of steam.
Yeah, it's done. It's yeah, over. Sorry it's about that. Well, I didn't start it.
Well. Yeah, but you certainly ended it because you ran it right into the ground.
Oh, hells yeah. I'm trying to find now. Ah, there it is. Okay, so here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
The first game of the week is Baltimore-New England.
Make sure you write down all the numbers this time.
I'll do my best. Oh, I guess I need... There we go. So there's Lyle, there's Kevin, and there's Liz. Love how I make this up as I go.
Yeah, that's good. It's why would you prepare when you can do it on the air?
Exactly.
That's my motto.
So the over-under on this game is we're following the MGM Mirage line, so it's 48.
Awesome.
Right?
All right, so over-under is 48.
And let's see.
And
New England is giving 7.
Wow. That's a little bit steep.
So that means New England has to win by 7 or more.
Correct.
That's correct. So let's start out with you, Lyle.
Me?
Yeah, who you got?
Oh, 7 points is just gross. What was the over-under again?
48.
Okay, so I'm definitely going under. And I'm going to take the Patriots.
So Lyle takes Patriots in the under. I will take Baltimore in the under.
Liz?
I'm going to take the Patriots. And the under as well, even though that means I'm
going to
stay tied with Lyle.
Okay.
It's good awesome. To be tied with me. I'm in first place.
So am I.
Oh, Fuse. Ooh. I love a spicy Lyle.
All right, so the next game is Carolina-Seattle. The over-under on this is 39.5. And let's see. Seattle is giving up 11.5 points.
Oh, crazy.
All right, so I'll go first on this one. I'm going to take Carolina, and I'm going to take the over. I'm taking my 11.5 points and just giggling all the way to the bank.
I am. I'll go next. I'm doing the same, except I'm going under. Or,
Carolina
under. Carolina under.
Damn it. I also want to go take Carolina and the under, but now I feel like I've duplicated two of Lyle's. So I'm going to say, who's the other? The Seahawks and the under.
It's okay to be contrarian, Liz.
Mm, I don't know.
People not lose a, money I mean, like that all the time.
Not if you want to win.
All right, so we got Dallas, and we got Green Bay in Green Bay, and Green Bay is giving 5.5 points. And the over-under on this bad boy is 52.5.
Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big one.
In the cold, in Lambeau, outside?
In the cold, in Lambeau, outside. That's correct, Liz.
All right. Okay. Who didn't go first yet?
Liz goes first.
Okay, Liz goes first.
I am taking... how many is the Packers giving? 5.5.
5.5.
Which ain't that much.
Ain't that much. So that means that the Packers need to win by 6 points.
Correct. Correct.
Give me Dallas and the under.
Dallas and the under. Lyle.
Green Bay under.
GB under.
No way they score 50 points. That's crazy.
Not in the cold like that. I'm taking Green Bay and the under as well. Gots to do it. Our last game is Indianapolis-Denver. Indy-Denver is being played in Denver, of course, and the over-under on this is 54.
Wow.
That's also pretty big. And Denver is giving up 7.
Man, so
back to you going
points.
First, Lyle.
Man, it's just gross, but I got to do it. Denver in the under.
Ooh, Denver in the under.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Denver in the over. See, that's 30 to 24. That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
Good God. Yeah, I'll take it without Denver in the over.
Liz?
Colts in the under, please.
Now that's contrarian.
Yeah, it is.
You're going to bet against Peyton Manning at home in the playoffs?
Well,
Have you seen the ducks he's been throwing?
Wow.
That's true.
Ducks.
Peyton Manning throwing ducks. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, any kind of rationale is good. And you are starting off, you know, you're winning right now, 7-0. So.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard to turn down points, man.
I like winning 11.5-0 over Seattle right now.
Yeah, me too.
I dig that.
Sorry, Liz?
I think they're going to run a lot because the only way you're going to beat Indy is on the ground, and C.J. Anderson has been a beast. So Denver can still win this game, but Andrew Luck is throwing some of the best passes of his career. So
he's playing hot. He is playing hot. So there you have it. Liz, we really appreciate you once again, you classing the join up. And sorry it took us till Friday, but there were some issues.
Yeah, a lot of things happened.
Oh, I hope you're feeling better.
I am.
I wasn't going to say this.
Go ahead, dude.
Last night, Lyle basically went to New York to say goodbye to a coworker of his who he's been friends with for a while, who was leaving the company. So basically, the drinking started at noon on Wednesday and didn't end until Lyle passed out last night.
Yes.
I thought he had a cold.
No, I did. I did. I had a terrible headache on the train, and I decided my best move was to drink it away. So it worked. I didn't have pain, but I was combining it with all this cold meds. And whatever happened from 7 o'clock on last night, apparently I had a conversation with Kevin. I remember none of it.
He drunk dialed me.
Yeah.
Lyle told me he loved me.
Apparently the most awkward exchange in telephone history. Please go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah. He was like, Kevin, I love you. And I just said nothing. And he was like, please say something. Isn't it? Lyle, I love you too.
Yeah, and apparently I didn't even say goodbye too. I just deleted the phone call.
He was just done.
I woke up in my clothes this morning. It was really, really bad. We started pre-gaming on Wednesday at the office. We have a beer fridge there. We went to Nobu that night. I don't know how much plum sake we drank, but it was enough to kill a baby horse, I'm guessing.
Or a baby deer.
Yeah, right. Or a baby deer. I slept for 4 hours, and then I was at breakfast doing mimosas. An hour later, there was a lunch with an open bar. It just got silly. And
wow.
And yeah, and then I wasn't going to drink last night. I was going to come and do the show. I was all good, but I had this headache on the train, and they have copious amounts of dogfish, so I started drinking that, and it just went, it went downhill really fast. Oh, and then when I got home, I decided to take more cold medicine, and all we had left was nighttime stuff. So I took that.
And then called
me. And then called Kevin, apparently.
That it was the biggest, best moment of my life.
And well, I was see?
Like, he's not going to remember this.
It did something for you.
I mean, it was fun.
I give, man. Yeah, I keep giving.
So, Liz, we'll do this hopefully next Wednesday again.
Yes, absolutely. I am available next Wednesday. I look forward to it. I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm even more glad that you love each other so much.
Yeah, well.
In a platonic, non-sexual sort of way.
I love Kevin. He didn't respond, apparently, so.
I told you, you know.
You could tell me anything now. I have no idea what you said.
I sent you naked pictures of me, dude.
Wow, I wish you had. That'd be amazing.
Go.
All right, Liz.
Liz is clapping out. All right, Liz.
Take care.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
Bye next week.
Yeah.
Wow. Liz was like, I'm out, guys.
Yeah. Nude pictures of Kev. I want no parts of that, baby. None.
Nudes.
And so that's it for the show.
We got a question, don't we?
Do we?
We got a question.
Oh, I guess we ought to answer the question we have. Jeez.
I know it's one, but
right,
somebody did take the time to ask it.
Elliot 23 says, some random questions for you guys.
All right, let's hear it. Wow. I love awkward silence.
Yeah, that's it. Wait, what are you ordering here?
She's buying stuff.
Yeah, okay, never mind. We're good. Yeah, that's fine. We're just... Huh?
Keeping it professional. This is riveting radio. Riveting.
Yeah, we're ordering dinner, if that's cool with you guys. I'm going to get me a lasagna.
After 10 years, it just keeps getting better, man.
Yeah. We're just, well, you know, the whole
we're bringing
thing
our
is,
pro game.
We're comfortable with, you know, being ourselves.
I don't have any problem with it. I love awkward silence.
So anyway, LE23, what are your thoughts on the potential of extended playoffs for next season? So what they're talking about is adding another wild card per conference and having just one team getting a bye. And
I hate it. I hate it, hate it.
And why would that be?
Dude, it's perfect the way it is. Why do we need to do that? Now, if you bring some expansion teams in and make the league a little bit bigger, then we can talk. Okay, but until you do that, why are you messing with it? It works. Why are we messing with it?
I don't know, because it gives you another...
It gives them another way for them to make money. That's all it is.
You think it's a money grab?
Well, dude...
I'm shocked.
Don't mess with my game. It is the way it is. That formula works. Shut up. You expand the league? Fine. We can talk about expanding playoffs then. It's going to end up like hockey. Everybody makes the playoffs. What's the point of the regular season?
Yeah, I get that. I don't mind keeping it exactly
right
the
now,
way it is.
Right now, most of the time, unless you're in a horrible conference, Carolina, you got to get 10 wins to get into the playoffs.
Right.
You got to. Right? That's hard to do in the NFL.
And even getting 10 wins,
it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. It's not. So, dude, if you get into a situation where teams that are 500 are routinely making the playoffs, F off. Get out of here. Now, I know that the Eagles might have been one of those teams this year. You know, that's possible that my team might have eked in. But I don't. That wouldn't have been special to me.
Right. I think now it's difficult to get in. And teams that – there was a year that the Patriots went 11-5 and didn't get in.
And didn't get in.
Yeah, and that's just crazy to me. So yeah, I don't like the idea of expanding the playoffs. So, who are your offensive and defensive rookies of the year?
Offensive is
it's Beckham.
Pretty easy, yeah. It's Beckham.
To me, it's Beckham.
Defensive is that's a good one, man.
I think Aaron Donald from the Rams had a really good year. Kind of like him. I like the kid from the Ravens, Mosley. I think he did really well. I would probably go Mosley.
I don't hate that. I'm trying to think of...
the kid from the Bears, cornerback from
the
Bears.
Yeah, that's who I was talking about, yeah.
Yeah, he did well.
But, I mean, you know, it's not really... It sounds bad to say, but it's not really a sexy thing, defensive.
Right. I think we agree on the offense, right?
It's Beckham without question. Listen, Benjamin had an outstanding rookie year. Mike Evans in Tampa was awesome.
You could make an argument for Teddy Bridgewater.
Sure.
You could make an argument for Carr out in Oakland.
Sure.
But, dude, nobody had an impact like Beckham, even though he missed many games.
Beckham destroyed the NFL. He broke the freaking internet.
He did break the internet.
Like, you just can't I can't remember a rookie impacting the league so dramatically. Like ever, man.
AP blew it up a little bit.
He did, but he was splitting carries with what's his name?
I think the fact that Beckham didn't start the year week one.
Yep, I think it adds to his case.
Kind of came in and just blew it up.
When Cruz comes back, how great are they going to be?
Who
do you cover? But I'm not talking about the Giants. I'm talking about the
passing game.
Yeah,
that's gonna be crazy.
Anyway,
I look forward to that. Okay, who gets your vote for coach of the year?
I think it's got to be Arians, right? Got to be. Who was his quarterback?
Nobody.
Right. Made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the sweetheart. I kind of dig that. I don't know. The funny thing is like you look at a guy like Belichick, who never gets coach of the year and always has a good team. You know, should he be coach of the year? Probably not, because you almost expect it out of him now, right?
Yeah, coach of the year is kind of the story of the underdog, right? Almost always.
Who does a great job of coaching? You know, you could probably say, let's see, Harbaugh maybe.
Sure.
Would be a decent candidate.
Yeah, but I think Arians just takes it though. I don't think anybody's on that level.
I've
no running game, no quarterback.
I've started, heard people started say Dallas's coach.
What?
Jerry Jones?
Oh, Jerry Jones.
No, but I think Bruce. I really wanted Bruce Arians to come to the Eagles.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I think he's a good shot for it. I also like Caldwell in Detroit, but he had, it's the team that doesn't have players that still gets to where they want to be.
Yeah.
So I think Arians got to have that shot. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, back to the questions. Where were we? Okay. Which coaching vacancy is most attractive moving forward, team and ownership considered? Atlanta, to me.
Yeah, it's the Falcons. I agree.
They have the most talent. You can walk right in there and win the division next year.
The division sucks. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. They have a lot of pieces in place. They have a lot of work to do, too. Don't get me wrong. It's not perfect. But yeah, I think that's a really attractive option. Oakland is a place you go to die. Chicago kind of is, too, now, it seems like. Although, I don't think that's an unattractive option, either. I think the Bears...
I don't think... I mean, obviously, you know, you want to go into a place where you have, you know, pieces in place.
I think they do there. I mean, they need a quarterback. They need to figure that out.
Yeah.
But, you know... I think you can work with their defense. You have a lot of talent on offense, you know. So I think that's almost equally attractive. I think the real kind of deterrence is it's a really tough division. You know, you got Detroit and Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, dynamite football teams. I don't like walk in there with pieces missing. How like you're almost signing your own death warrant.
Yeah, but the thing is,
today's NFL, they wanted results right now.
Yeah, and it is Chicago, though. I mean, you know,
it's true.
It's hard to say no to any Chicago job.
Didn't say it was, you know, yeah. It was a. I'm just saying that if I look at those two teams, I go, yeah, I think I'll go down.
I don't know if Oakland goes to LA, that'd be a sweet gig.
It would be a sweet gig.
It'd be a real sweet gig.
But that organization is just a disaster. Always has been.
I wouldn't say it always has been,
dude. Since the days of Bo Jackson, pretty much.
Okay, well, that's not always. I mean,
all right, good. No, storied franchise before that. Totally agree.
Yeah.
But
since they lost to Tampa in the Super Bowl,
right?
They've just been a big bucket of suck,
right?
You know,
and that was what a long time ago.
13 years, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, bonus questions: what beers are you guys drinking these days? Still loading up on the holiday ales. No, I'm drinking some Yards, Philadelphia. I'm drinking, you know, I still love the Hop Devil, you know. I like the Dogfish Head 60 Minute.
Yeah, I was doing Sapporos in New York. I really like those.
Yeah?
At Nobu. What you call it?
At Nobu.
I was out at Nobu. God, that food was amazing, dude.
Good sushi?
Oh, my God.
Tuna just melts on your tongue?
It's just like, it's ridiculous. They did some beef, too. Some Wagyu. Beef,
oh, yeah?
Wagyu? I don't know. But they bring out a giant hot rock. Like, you have a tray, but this rock is literally sizzling hot.
Right.
And they have, like, five pieces of beef on it, and you cook it yourself. You just go.
So you're basically just putting a little color on the outside. It's rare beef.
Yeah. So good. But the oyster shooters. Right, it was like a Tabasco Bloody Mary kind of thing. Right. Oysters at the bottom and
a little Worcestershire,
quail egg on the top. $17 for a shot.
Nice.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Oh yeah,
so good. So, but yeah, man. Yeah.
It's nice when you got a corporate card in your pocket.
Oh, I didn't pay for it. Yeah.
That's right. So yeah, of course, Allagash White's always in there, and like I said, hopped up.
Doing a lot of Dogfish too.
Yeah, gotta love the local brew. Aside from Star Wars, what movie are you guys looking forward to most of the year? The most this year?
I think Avengers be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I doubt they're going to get Deadpool.
Don't we have another? It's not going to happen this year, no. But it is going to be awesome. Dude, Ant-Man? Oh, my God.
Paul Rudd?
Look, I swear to God, I'm so excited. I don't know, man. You know, I'm really digging the DC TV shows. I don't know if you're doing Arrow and Flash and stuff.
I am. Well, you know
so
what?
Good.
I've got them recorded, but I watch them with my son Rob.
They're super cheesy, but I love it.
Oh, the acting is awful.
I love it. I don't know why. I can't get enough of it.
Have you been watching Constantine?
I did the first 5 episodes. I haven't gotten back in yet, but I want to.
Kind of dig that.
Yeah. Gotham also is very, very
Gotham
good.
Gotham is really good.
I didn't do this week's episode yet. But
I haven't watched it yet, but I recorded Agent Carter.
Oh yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know either, but it's a Marvel product.
It is.
Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D. was okay.
I clapped out of that.
Yeah, it got better towards the end of the season. But yeah. What are we babbling on about?
I don't know. This is what we do, man.
I know.
Okay, before we go, I got to say your season-long fantasy football league may be over, but there's still plenty of excitement every week at DraftKings.com.
Yes, there is, Kevin. DraftKings is America's favorite one-week fantasy sports site where you could win enormous cash prizes every time you play.
This is a true story. Dave from Boston, you know Dave, he won $1 million in one day just playing fantasy football at DraftKings.
So did Matt from Florida and Ray from New Jersey.
In fact, DraftKings has crowned a new millionaire nearly every week this season.
The football action even continues throughout the playoffs at DraftKings.com.
And that's why we love it. And be sure to check out their exciting money-making contests in other sports as well, like hockey and college and pro hoops.
You've been hearing about big winners at DraftKings all year. Now it's your turn to win huge cash.
Head to DraftKings.com now and use promo code GUYS to play for free in the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend.
DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires.
Enter GUYS, G-U-Y-S, for a free entry now at DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com.
That is DraftKings.com.
Wow, there's the show, bitches.
And there is the show, bitches.
Yeah, man.
Just like that.
And we're out.
Like that. Oh, there it is. All right.
Oh, God.
Getting kind of punchy as we get to the end of the season.
Yeah.
We have 3 more shows.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
It kind of is. It seems like we just started this season.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It seems like an eternity to me.
Well,
I'm just like, oh my God, it's been going on forever.
It kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. Next year, we got other stuff.
We've been doing this a decade, dude.
I know.
It's crazy.
Next year, we're doing video.
Yeah, we're going to watch some video.
Maybe we're going to add a show, a call-in show and stuff.
Might do something.
We're looking at some stuff.
Yeah.
So,
Should be fun.
We're gonna kick this thing up a notch.
Yo.
Getting the studio ready.
It looks really nice.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I see what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
We're working on it.
It's good, though. Yeah.
So anyway.
I'm excited.
Enjoy your weekend games, beaches, and we'll chat to you next week. Don't.
Slater.
By the way, don't pick the games we picked as we suck at.
Yeah, we're terrible.
Yeah, it's no good. So, you know.
5 apiece, though. That's not bad.
What's that?
5 out of 8.
Yeah, it's okay, I suppose. Yeah, bye.